I freely admit there are things that I have done, ideas of which I have held, and foolish arguments I've made, but all of which happened in the distant, distant past. But I remained embarrassed about, because I know about them. As I moved along in life, I began to mature. My wife believes I'm still working on that, but that's another story. Over the course of years, I've had many different opinions, beliefs, and ideas. But two events prompt my reverie. First, a recent family gathering where we looked at photos going back to my younger days, pre-grade school, grade school, and high school. I was a shadow of what I look like now, literally very thin. The second was that other than embarrassing stories told by my relatives, only those photographs remain. And there are only a few of them, so there is no archive. About 4 years ago, I had my identity stolen. I had a U.S. government security clearance, which meant my application for that job was over 40 pages long, and the information contained it was my entire life. All of my schooling, from grade school, high school, through college, law school, and seminary, the names and addresses of teachers and college professors, all the way to my updated submission to the government in the year 2006. So the hackers accessed not only my Social Security number, birth date, driver's license number, all past addresses, the names of addresses of my references and contacts, and just so much more, all stolen. I was told to immediately terminate my Facebook account. The reason was not to give the hackers any further information or photos about me, about my hobbies, my interests, and my three friends. You're aware that Facebook was recently hacked. I have learned from a number of sources that even though I closed my Facebook account, the company probably never deleted any of the information from their computers. So I suspect the new hackers have all of my prior information and photos from Facebook. So there's a lot of information about me out there. But hopefully not my prior mistakes, my poor choices, my misplaced ideologies, nor of anything idiotic, because I assure you that was a long time ago. At least I hope you know that. But what about young and old people today? Facebook was launched in 2004. A person who was 15 years old in 2004 is now 29 years old. If people started posting, if you started posting in 2004, that means there's a 14-year history of your photos, friends, thoughts, postings, possible follies, stupidities, foolishness, all forever on the web to see. Now, we know that privacy on the internet is an illusion. Whatever we post on social media is out there. And whatever someone else posts is also out there forever. But not just what we post, what we disclose about ourselves, and not just what other people say about us, but there's also marketers, and they know more about us sometimes than our closest friends do. You may have heard about this true story which occurred in 2012. An angry man went into a Target store outside of Minneapolis, Minnesota. He showed the manager an advertisement. He was angry. He was irritated, and he said, "My daughter got this in the mail." Holding up the ad, he added, "She's still in high school, and you're sending her coupons for cribs and baby clothes?" He asked, "Are you trying to encourage her to get pregnant?" The store manager didn't have any idea what the man was talking about. He looked at the mailer. Sure enough, it was addressed to the man's daughter and contained advertisements for maternity clothes, nursery furniture, and pictures of smiling infants. The manager apologized and then called a few days later to apologize a second time, which is really neat for Target. On the phone, though, the father was somewhat abashed. "I had a talk with my daughter," he said. "It turns out that there's been some activities in my house that I haven't been completely aware of. She's pregnant and due in August. I owe you an apology." What was discovered is this. Target assigns every customer a guest ID number that's tied to their credit card, their name, or their email address. This becomes a bucket. And this bucket stores a history of everything they bought, any demographic information Target has collected from them or bought from other sources. Using that, Target looked at the historical buying data for all the ladies who had signed up for Target baby registries in the past. One Target employee provided a hypothetical example. Take a fictional Target shopper named Jenny Ward, who is 23. In March, she bought cocoa butter lotion, a purse large enough to double as a diaper bag, zinc and magnesium supplements, and a bright-colored rug. There's an 87% chance that she's pregnant and that her delivery date is late August. If this is what companies such as Target and Amazon know about us, we can only imagine what God knows about us. What this shows is that we can no longer escape our past. We can no longer hide what we say or post, nor what others post about us, nor what marketers know about us, nor what hackers know about us. As the Apostle James wrote in his epistle, all of us make many mistakes when we speak. And if he were writing 2,000 years later, he would now say, or what we post. St. James states that our often unsuccessful attempts in trying to control what we say are like people trying to restrain horses or controlling ships. And since we're all familiar with news videos of forest fires, we can easily understand when he states a fact. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And in case we miss his point, he states, our tongue is like a fire. He further equates what can happen on social media and gossip generally when our tongue is not tamed. He states it is like a restless evil full of deadly poison. I think every person who has been bullied by gossip or social media would agree. And just yesterday on TV, they had the actress, I forget her name, who is on Star Wars, who left Instagram because she was being bullied on it. Individuals of my vintage can legitimately hide in the fog of history, but the history of the last 14 years is there, and it cannot be hidden, and it can be stolen. Privacy is an illusion. So how do we live? St. James reminds us that from our mouth can come both blessings and curses. He tells us what we should speak are blessings. Then he asks a question and he expects that everyone who hears his question will just shout out, I am. This is the question. Who is wise and understanding among you? And he wants each of us to raise our hands high and shout, I am. And when we do so, he then says, show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. We are to live a virtuous life. We are to do good deeds and works. We are to be calm and gentle with others. And we are to think sensibly and wisely. Give me just a second. I'm going to go into a bit of a family history here. I talked about the reverie that occurred. And that reverie was a family gathering we had in Milwaukee. And one of the people that came was my Uncle Chester. Uncle Chester is 92 years old, and he's just a very, very gentle person. My wife and I visited him a second time just this last week, Thursday. His wife, Wanda, is in Alzheimer's down in Libertyville, Illinois. But he continues to maintain his demeanor, his smile, and I've never heard ever, a 92-year-old man, him say anything evil or about anybody. So what happened is that my daughter was cleaning out my granddaughter Opal's backpack this last week, looking for lunch and papers and things. She found a crumpled-up sheet of paper, and she looked at it and read it, and asked Opal, was this for school? And she said, no, I just wrote it. So Milwaukee Public School, Montessori, first grade. I love my great-great-uncle. He is 95 or 92 years old. He was in World War II. He got stuck in a propeller. He was in the army. When he got stuck in a propeller, an angel saved him. He doesn't use a cane. He is nice. He is my great-great-uncle. I love my great-great-uncle. So what is the virtuous life that St. James is talking about? A life of saying blessings and not curses. But yet our past continues to be our history. Even Jesus could not escape his past. In today's gospel, reading from Mark, we learn that when Jesus visited his hometown, the crowd was well aware that his relatives and mother were outside the house that Jesus was in. They rightly associated Jesus with his family, and his family was Jesus. They remembered him as a young kid, a teenager, and a young man. And then because of what Jesus was preaching, some in the crowds complained to his family about what Jesus was teaching and how he was conducting himself. Then even his own family went out to restrain Jesus because they felt embarrassed when the crowds told his relatives that Jesus had gone out of his mind. So who we are, past and present, never really leaves us. Jesus did not have privacy either. And in our contemporary world, the concept of privacy is illusory. Target, Amazon, L.L. Bean, Barnes & Noble, Essential Consulting, they all know more about us than we can imagine. Our families know our history. Our spouses live with our history. Our children have lived with our history. So I ask, with the past we have with our loved ones, with our unintended rudeness, disrespects, and insults, and with the so many other ways that we have offended them, even though we never intended to, have they forgiven us for what we have done wrong? Have they pardoned us for our trespasses? Have they absolved us for our rudeness? Have they excused us from our stupidities? Maybe they have. Maybe they have not. Each of us has memories. But if we have offended others, we have the biblical duty to make it right. We can't just continue on. Way back in the Torah, 10,000 years ago, to the Gospel, 2,000 years ago, we have an obligation to correct the wrongs we have done by speaking or by action. Jesus told us that if we intend to make an offering to God, but remember that we are not reconciled to a brother or sister or neighbor, we are to go at once and be reconciled and then make the offering to God. We can't just walk away. Well, what about our relationship with God? As to God's forgiveness, Jesus clearly tells us today, we will be forgiven for our sins. He then continues to add with that absolute and unconditional love that God has to us. We will even be forgiven for whatever blasphemies we utter. Blasphemies are any disrespect for God, for religion, for desecrations, for profanities, for irreverence. However, Jesus does add a critical warning when he announced that whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never be forgiven, but is guilty of an eternal sin. Those are powerful words of warning. I would like to begin to wrap up this morning's message, which is this. God's way of living with us and forgiving us is completely contrary to the offending ways of the world. Jesus did not wound others. Jesus healed. Jesus did not hurt others. Jesus loved. And most importantly, Jesus forgave. When Jesus was on the cross dying, he forgave those who stole his clothing off of him and took it for themselves, as well as those who ridiculed him and derided him. Let me close with this passage from Luke's Gospel. They cast lots to divide his clothing. The leaders scoffed at him. The soldiers mocked him. In response to their words and their actions, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." No matter what our past sins, our mistakes, our rudeness, our trespasses, our debts to God and debts to neighbor, God is not only willing to forgive, but God does forgive us because God continues to love us. Amen.